Over the next few weeks, we will be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and often the parables we read, like the one we read today, are unique to Matthew's Gospel. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them out into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again around noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And so he said, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired around 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us to a different way, a way that is not the same as the way of the world, and yet too often we slip into the easy way, and we forget that you call us to a way of uncommon justice, a way not always understood by the world. Help us, O God, to focus on you and your way and your word, that we might follow faithfully. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I just want to be sure you all know I'm a Nana. Did you hear that last week? I have pictures on my phone just in case, you know, you're interested. But with the addition of a grandchild to our family, I've been thinking a lot about parenting these days. As one of my dear sons put it so eloquently this week, "You know, Mom, we might have really screwed up this generation, but we're going to do it right with the next one." Who screwed up with this generation, I wonder? I wouldn't be quite that harsh, actually, but I have been thinking a lot about the whole issue of parenting more than one child, and the striving for fairness that drives parents crazy as they try to ensure that each child has what he or she needs without feeling that one of the others has been given special favors. Our eldest got to go shopping with Mummy every week on her day off while the little brothers stayed at home. And I couldn't stop myself from feeding his obsession with clothes and shoes, always with the provision that he didn't tell Daddy when he got home how much we had bought, and he always did. My perception of his growing up years was that he was spoiled rotten. Apparently, what he remembers is the burden of responsibility he felt for his younger brothers. The second child got not much of anything, really, because he was just a happy little kid. He never seemed to need anything. He never asked for anything. But it turns out he feels he was ignored because he was the good child. Apparently, while we thought he was just happily making his way through life, he was actually keeping score. The third child, God love him, I am still investing too much worry and concern into that kid, hoping that maybe this time he has learned a lesson, breaking all of the bones in his eye socket skateboarding 2 weeks ago. And let's not talk about the financial support I've given him, because I would go bankrupt if I tried to even the score with his brothers. And the youngest, well, we all know youngest children are just all sweetness and goodness and light and joy, are we not? I'm letting that child live in my house right now with a dog big enough to be a horse. You can't put a price tag on that. They've all taken their turns feeling resentful for one thing or another. We've been challenged as parents many times, not just by them, but by well-meaning guidance counselors and friends and relatives who feel that one has been favored over another. And I always try to explain it this way. Fairness in the eyes of a parent is not about keeping count and doling out exactly the same money, the same love, the same care, the same concern. It's about giving as much as any one of them needs at any given time without counting the cost or comparing it to what you gave their sibling last week. It's an uncommon sort of justice, for sure, but it's just what parents do. The parable we read this morning from Matthew's gospel is unique to his gospel, and as we read it, we can sometimes find ourselves getting our back up. Someone makes a deal with workers at 9 in the morning, and they slug it out in the heat all day. And then they find out that others who joined the workforce at noon, at 3, and even at the last minute, receive the same wage as them at the end of the day. We'd be pretty ticked off if that happened to us. There'd probably be a phone call to the union, I imagine. But you know, even in our churches, as much as we want to present an appearance of being open and inclusive, we can't help but sometimes draw those lines in the sand between those who have been here forever and those who have just recently come through the doors, those who are major donors and those who are perhaps not, those who are involved in everything and those who slip in quietly and leave quietly. I don't think we mean to divide ourselves into different camps, but there are times when those divisions surface and lead us to believe that we are the ones who are allowed to deem some worthy and some not. Worthy of our time and attention, worthy of the time and care of others. Worthy of what? God's love? God's grace, God's forgiveness. The parable in Matthew's gospel, I don't think, was meant to paint a picture of a God who purposefully sets out to irritate and to cause hard feelings and division and a sense of unfairness. It was simply meant to remind us that we have a loving, caring God who, like a faithful, loving parent, is only concerned about providing for each one of us according to our needs. In the eyes of the world, God's uncommon justice might seem to be unfair or unreasonable, but that's just the way God is. Leaving the 99 to go looking for that one stray who hasn't come home at curfew. Making friends at the well with a woman no one else would befriend. Hanging out at the pub with sinners and prostitutes. And while Matthew may have intended his words for a specific audience because of his desire to remind people of the important place of the Jews in Jesus' mission, one can only imagine that his words would also have spoken to any number of groups vying for first place in the kingdom of heaven. Tax collectors, Jews, Gentiles, apostles. And it has wisdom for any number of followers today who might be tempted to think that they have a corner on the truth, that they are the ones who have the right to welcome or to exclude. I find it sometimes a surprise for church members to learn that no matter how much they invest in a church building over the years, they are, in the end, not the owners of the building, but they are simply trustees, holding a gift in trust for those who will come after, much as our ancestors did for us. Because no matter how much we invest, no matter how early we come to the game, no matter what rank we think we can pull, we are not the owners of anything to which we cling in this place or in this life. We are simply humble tenant farmers. God is the one who calls the shots, and God's uncommon justice, like that of a parent, does not always make sense to the ones who think they are more deserving of love, of grace, of mercy. I have always liked what I have seen here at St. John's. I sometimes see people reaching out across the aisle. I see people making a point of speaking with newcomers. I sense a spirit of welcome and hospitality and that uncommon justice which is a trademark of our God. We welcome the newcomer. We welcomed Lena and Juma and Jad and Aileen, not to appease our guilt, but because we know that we too were welcomed generations ago into a new land, and we want to extend that same grace to others. And so may God's example of uncommon justice remind us always to extend grace, to practice mercy, and to live lives marked by that uncommon justice that speaks to others of who we are and who we choose to follow. Thanks be to God.